Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
Hi, everybody. My name is Max. I am a software engineer, senior software engineer at LinkedIn.
Max, thanks so much for making time to join us on the Ivy podcast. It's always very exciting to talk to fellow countrymen from Kazakhstan. I don't get a chance to do that very often, but when I do, it's extra special for me. Before we jump in and talk about your current role with LinkedIn and all of that great experience, give us a thumbnail version of your career prior to that.
First of all, thank you very much for having me. I'm very honored to be on this stage and honored to be the first one you are having podcast with. Quick story is I started my career in 2011 while I was studying in Kazakhstan. After about 4 years, in 2016, after I finished, I moved to US. And that's when I started doing some startups, failed, and joined the company, then moved, then went to another startup. And this startup became bankrupt. And then I started my own company in Kazakhstan for IT outsourcing. And then I joined LinkedIn. That's a short story.
Well, that's very exciting and similar to my journey as well. I had my share of successfully failed startups as well. So it's definitely, you know, I the reason I say highlight successfully is because it's never a failure unless you stop. It's really an opportunity to learn. It sounds like you treat those experiences the same way, which is very exciting. So fast forward, you've held your great share of, you know, launching your own companies. You worked in the corporate sector as well. And now you've joined one of the top companies in the world out there, LinkedIn. So tell us a little bit more. I realize you're just starting out, but just kind of high level overview of what your area of responsibility, any insight that you can share as far as projects you're going to be working on, that would be cool.
Sure. I'm an engineering productivity team, which is basically we're doing everything, all internal tools that could make company productive, which could lead for more revenue, right? Projects I'm working on is, for example, help center chat that you would see on LinkedIn. That's one of the projects I'm working on. Also, all translations that you see, automation of this translation, that's something I'm working on. A lot of internal tools that we do to keep engineers productive.
Well, that's definitely very interesting. And I'm a very active user of LinkedIn. I always have a window up. One of my browser windows is always LinkedIn. Hmm. A lot of my connections, they all know that I post a lot, and I also get a lot of news from my network, from my connections. In fact, I think you and I, you know, also connected there as well. Yep. So kind of to backtrack a little bit in terms of getting exposed to that opportunity at LinkedIn, tell us a little bit more about that process. Did you set out, was LinkedIn one of those target companies that you said, I really admire the culture, I really admire something that they're building, let me set out and try to, you know, get in there? Or was that something that you discovered along the process? Just give us a little bit of an overview how that job search process worked for you.
Yep. That was pretty interesting. After my wife got rejected four times visa to US, so I was in Kazakhstan for 8 months. Finally, she got visa, and consul actually asked me to come over to talk to me before giving her visa. So we got a visa, and in January 2020, we moved to US again. And I used to live in South California, where's Irvine, Los Angeles, and we decided to go to Silicon Valley. And we were broke because I, as I mentioned, our startup was bankrupt, so I didn't have a job. And we were basically, I was searching for a job immediately, and I found it in 33 days. But by that time, in a month, I become like desperate, thinking that I don't worth anything in the market, because all my I had a lot of interviews, and everything seems good, but I'm not getting any offer. And interesting things that I found out is when somebody needs you in Bay Area, everybody needs you. So it's basically, if somebody saying okay, giving you one offer, everybody else ready to give you offer because they're fear. Maybe it's fearing of missing out. I don't know. So I first got an interview with LinkedIn, and after that interview, I was shortlisted to final. But the same day, one recruiter called me from Google, who's searching for a candidate for Google. And as I mentioned that LinkedIn is, I'm going to have a final interview with LinkedIn. And he proposed that he can make me a final interview with Google earlier than LinkedIn. And I said, if you could do that, that would be great. And he actually did it. On Monday, I got an interview with Google, but for a contract position, not full-time, right? And I got an interview, and afternoon I got offer. So that was pretty amazing. And I still remember the moment. I was driving on freeway and I got a phone call. Yeah, and my final was LinkedIn, supposed to be on Thursday. So I called LinkedIn and said, okay, I have an offer on hand. Is there a way to have an interview earlier? And they set it up for Tuesday morning. And I got an interview on Tuesday morning, and I got an offer Tuesday afternoon. Then another person called me, which is a startup, but very successful one. That was the first interview I had while I was searching, first one on site. And I didn't get an offer from them for a long time. And they called me and offered. So that startup actually became very huge, because what they do, they build AI, which reads X-ray better than human. Mm-hmm. So when COVID started, they just blew up. They're huge now. Yeah, so they offered me. And next day, all this roller coaster started between LinkedIn and Google. There was a contract, and they offered me that they will start green card process for me immediately if I sign, and also they give you a sign up bonus if I sign. But why I choose LinkedIn, even though they were giving the same salary, just because while I was LinkedIn, we had cultural fit interview, which I didn't have with Google. And I felt that it's important for them to know me and to kind of feel my vibe, right? While in an interview with contract with Google, they actually didn't ask me anything personal, not personal, but something which tells them something about me, not just technical skills. So I just felt with my gut that I should go with LinkedIn. That's what I did.
Well, that's very exciting, and it's interesting to also hear now, majority of that is kudos to your skills and everything to be able to generate offers from such, reputable organizations in such a short period of time. Tell us a little bit more about kind of the whole interview process with LinkedIn. Not so much emphasis on the technical side, because I think we all get a pretty good understanding in terms of the assessments that you get, coding exercises and things like that, pretty straightforward. And those usually vary case by case, depending on the role that you play. I'm more interested in hearing in terms of, you mentioned also the cultural fit interview, and maybe any other interviews that you had were some questions that really helped you uncover that this is the type of leadership that I would want to join. This is the type of teams that would, provide me with greater chances of success. What were some of the types of questions that you heard throughout those interviews?
Yeah, I had interview. I had one interview I'd never had. It was called craftsmanship. This is for senior positions. Usually, it is all about. They ask questions like, "What do you think is good code? What do you think is bad code? How you debug stuff? What you do if this or that?" And this is basically showing you how maybe adult you are in tech world, mm-hmm. right? So are you really senior, or you are junior, or you senior with a junior mind? I don't know, something like that. So right. That was interesting. And the other interesting thing was they asked me questions about LinkedIn a lot, like what I see when how I use that, and what I would change if I join LinkedIn, what I would like to work on if I join LinkedIn. This type of questions. That was most important questions for me to decide I would like to join LinkedIn, because they wanted to know what I would like to work on. So we had jokes and that was pretty friendly conversation, actually, not an interview. So mm-hmm. maybe that's caught me. Yeah.
That's very, very refreshing to hear, because a lot of times, especially for technical roles, a lot of experiences that at least I've been through and, you know, within my networks that are here, a lot of that is, you know, very transactional. And at the same time, it's not really a two-way dialogue, where it's most time of the hiring manager asking questions of the interviewee. So that's, you know, that's definitely very refreshing to hear that you got that opportunity to have a friendly conversation with the hiring managers. How many total rounds did you go through? Was there panel? Was that multiple rounds with different folks? What was the structure?
Six interviews. It is coding algorithms 1, 2, system design, craftsmanship, this hiring manager / like cultural fit, and also one lunch ambassador, which people are kind of thing is not important, but actually now I do interviews at LinkedIn, and lunch ambassador has a right to vote as well. So
tell us a little bit more about that. What's expected out of that experience? What was the format?
Yeah, lunch ambassador is supposed to eat with you and have a friendly conversation with you to see, and not, they're not going to talk about work. They're not talking about tech stuff. It will be like, what movie do you like, you know? And to find some common interest, the questions would be like, there will be question, why LinkedIn, this kind of question. But mostly, is it fun to just sit and eat with you? That's maybe main question. Do I feel comfortable talking to you? It's just, so at LinkedIn, what we do, we choose colleagues for us, right? And one way of choosing colleagues is just having meal with him. So that's one of the ways.
Well, that's very interesting. Definitely unique way to also uncover someone's personality.
Yeah.
Especially if you interview mostly virtually these days. Were all of your interviews done virtually?
Yes.
Yeah, so that adds another layer of complexity to be able to figure out somebody's personality through, you know, conversation just like this, which is not easy.
Yeah.
So definitely lunch ambassador definitely seems like one of the ways to accomplish at least some of that. That's very interesting. Anything that really caught you off guard? I know I'm sure preparation for such interviews is very extensive. You spend a lot of time prepping, anticipating certain questions. But overall, was there anything that really kind of, not really caught you off guard, but something that you were not necessarily prepared for?
Oh, yes. That's going to be interesting. One of the questions that the hiring manager asked me was, what you could do blindfolded without looking, just closing your eyes and do it. And that was a question I couldn't answer. So I was like stuck, shocked for 10 seconds. And no words coming from my mouth. And I said, I can sleep blindfolded. And so I said that I failed that question. And he also laughed, and we kind of went to next question. But in the end of interview, he told me that was a tricky question. What he wanted to see is how big is my ego? Like, how big is my ego? Like, if I grew it too much, I would say, oh, I can just build up servers, right? Very easily. I can do this and that and anything you want, blindfolded. But I did not say anything like that. So it was also one of key factors that they choose me.
Wow, that's super cool. I definitely can see how a question like this can definitely uncover someone's, I guess, personality. And what you've mentioned from the ego perspective, absolutely. Because if you started going off on, you know, your strengths and how amazing you are doing things blindfolded, probably some type of a flag, right? So the,
yeah.
To the manager. That's really cool. That's definitely a very, very exciting story. Definitely thank you for sharing that. In terms of just overall your first couple of days at the company, and the reason I ask is these days there's a big emphasis for companies that are very successful on creating an environment that really lets employees to be very successful on the first day they start, especially in very virtual environments. The initial experience is extremely important. Whether you do that in person or, you know, virtually is even more difficult. I'm not sure how much you can share from that perspective. What was the just first couple of days? What really kind of stood out from that experience to you?
Most of the time, so first day you have an orientation. What was happened that I had a first virtual orientation in LinkedIn. So they were actually prepared for that. It went well. First, like maybe week, all I had was mostly meetings, meeting people, and also sending a bunch of documentation towards me. So I started to read that. And next week, I believe it's supposed to be first week, but we have a boot camp where you just get to know all stack and kind of it speed you up to know how everything is built, how it's published, how we communicate and all of that. On the first days they share, on orientations they share what's your benefits, who to talk to. That was pretty pleasant experience, and actually nobody expected anything done maybe in a month or two.
Yeah.
And especially that, and right now even when new hire comes, nobody expecting execution from him, because it's first of all, it's a lot to read, a lot to digest before you start. Yeah,
right, absolutely. As far as, so you come from technical backgrounds, and in your current role as an engineer, what are the different trends that you're personally very excited about these days? Not necessarily maybe unrelated to your current role or current organization, just overall, what are some of the technology trends that you're very passionate, that you are you're super excited about?
I have couple, maybe, yeah. I'm very interested about augmented reality. That's something when I saw that, I was like, wow. And for a while, I was watching Microsoft HoloLens. And just ideas that you don't need even TV, so it will always stay there while you watch, like you have your glasses. That amazes me. And another thing which is also interesting, which is kind of related, not for everyone doing what to augment reality, it's a new like, Internet of Things. These two areas actually very interesting to me. I still didn't start, but I wanted to build my own like smart home, right? And just the idea that right now devices are talking to each other like all the time. This is pretty interesting time. then not only we are talking, but devices are talking with each other right now, like saying hey. And also I started to use that, like with Samsung is pretty good integrated with that, like when you climbing close to your home, it started turns on the lights, it turns on like heater, can turn on the TV, and you walk in and everything is ready.
Right, absolutely. No, definitely very exciting trends. I can relate to that on so many levels. As far as the, you know, recommendations that you can share, maybe pieces of advice or that you still carry with you, you know, for the job seekers that are looking to break into the big companies like LinkedIn and Google, what are some of the things that you wish you knew when you were going through that process of job search and application, which is very stressful and cumbersome and complicated process? A lot of patience is required. What are some of the things that you can share that you were like, man, I wish I knew that when I was going through that?
Yeah, I do have that, and I share it with people. That is, I didn't know that personality matters that much. I didn't know that hiring manager has a veto power to basically say, okay, this guy sucks as an engineer, but he's a good, great guy. So no matter what you say, I would like to hire him. Mm-hmm. So it's not about me, but I'm seeing that my manager right now, he is caring more about actually person and how the quick thing I can share, for example, all interviews that we do, in the end, we have a debrief session where we discuss the candidate and kind of each interviewer says, okay, I would like to see him in a team. And what we do, we vote if you, it's not officially, but the mentality of hiring people is like that. If I say hire him, if you're not hiring him, I quit. If I'm saying not hire him, if you hire him, I quit. So it's basically, it's this kind of mentality actually gives the feeling. So when they grade their scores, so the maximum on the left, it's basically saying, if you hire this guy, I will quit. If you do it, if you say like all the way to the right, saying you hire this person, I will quit. It's changing the game because it really gives understanding, do people want to work with this person or no? Mm-hmm. But even though hiring manager could see people not saying not hire this person, but still can hire. That's something I didn't know, that you can fail but still win. And a lot of people, why I'm saying that is I'm getting towards soft skills.
Yeah.
Like people are so, they want to do all tech stuff and they like doing interviews every day, mock interviews, but actually they're not focused on how to make people like yourself, right? How people could feel working with you or feel comfortable talking to you. This is something is nobody teaches, maybe they do some leadership classes, but that's something I didn't learn anywhere. And if I knew that, maybe I would sell myself somewhere in a big tech company a while ago.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. That definitely very good points as far as not so much focusing on your technical skills or particular domain expertise, rather than investing a little bit more into softer skills, you know, certain personality traits and things like that.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that really kind of, if you were to go back through, you know, through this process again, in terms of investing a little bit more into developing certain soft skills more than the other that you were lacking, anything that stands out in this space outside of your technical expertise?
Definitely. Oh, one interesting story to share about that. A lot of people are coming to US, right? Maybe people that listening to this podcast, not English is not a first language for them, like for me. And knowing English matters. That's something to highlight because I was rejected one time because I didn't know English well. I thought that I didn't know English well, but one of the companies that wanted to hire me on the last round when I met all CEOs, everybody, I talked to SFO and projects that I was going to work with was really related to bank transaction operations. And they felt there could be some misunderstanding which could lead, I don't know, to lose billions, I don't know, a lot of money because I don't know English that well. So that was a good lesson for me that there is don't stop learning English. Like, if you just can't talk, it doesn't matter that you will get a job.
No, absolutely. I think it's communication skills in general, it just goes along the way, even before you start showcasing your technical skills. And like you've mentioned, companies like LinkedIn, they definitely pay probably a lot more attention to your personality and your communication style, communication skills first, and then looking at your technical domain experience as a secondary. I think that goes a long way, in terms of being able to kind of position yourself as one of the top performers for a company like that. What's next for you? What are you looking to accomplish, and what's just overall engagement with LinkedIn? Where do you see yourself in the next period of time?
Right now, I am super happy with my choice. So I'm super happy in LinkedIn. And I see myself actually working here long time, not lifetime, probably, but long time. And I'm hoping to get my next role, maybe next year, inside LinkedIn, but higher position. So aiming to be a manager, I hope next year. That's what I'm learning right now is actually I have my own company in Kazakhstan. That's where I learn to manage people. And I hope that and I, what I'm trying to do is also bring US management style, which is mostly flat nowadays, back to Kazakhstan, where it's very strict and it's like a pyramid,
Yeah,
right?
hierarchical. Yeah.
Yep. So that's something I'm working on. Interesting thing I would like to share. There is in Bay Area, there is right now not movement, but something is going on which called Great Reshuffle. I don't know, did you hear about that? I know, but it's basically people are changing the way they think or what they think. Basically, this work-life balance that people are talking about is not just without reason, right? After being locked down for a year and a half, right now it's more than 2 years, or 2 years, right? We'll be in December. People just revisited what they think about having vacation, what they think about traveling to other countries. And a lot of people got depressed and they wanted to change something in their life. And a lot of people are quitting their job, right? They're quitting. So they wanted just to change something in their life, which causing one person, for example, quitting Google and coming to LinkedIn, quitting LinkedIn and going to Facebook. And it's very big reshuffle is going on right now. And so many positions opening and so many like it's just crazy what's going on right now in the market. And it's going to be very interesting and excited because not all people bring their brain with them, right? And it's going to be very interesting to see what will happen in a couple of years. For sure, like, travel will be changed. People are value. So in Bay Area, a lot of money, a lot of people doing, people are making a lot of money, but they had a year where they could not spend it. Mm-hmm. And value of this money decreased because there is no happiness of traveling or exploring something interesting. So right now, I think travel is go up and people will demand from companies having, I don't know, maybe paid vacation, you know, this kind of stuff. Yeah, that's going to be very interesting.
No, that's absolutely great points you're making in terms of that, the great reshuffle, great resignation. I think it's a lot of companies are also struggling with kind of retaining the top talent because everyone's going through that self-assessment, self-reflection in terms of what's really important. So, you know, that's absolutely, you know, it's here to stay and it's probably going to grow even more. What are your sources for, you know, your content diet? What do you consume on a daily basis to keep yourself educated, informed? Share with us some of those sources.
Tech stuff, I use our company's LinkedIn Learning. And actually, we have engineering university inside company. We actually already know what we need to study based on the projects that we're working on. Regarding personal stuff, I use Blinkist, if you know that app. Blinkist, yeah, it's basically long story short app. So it's not fiction books, but it's all about personal development. A lot of topics are there, and that's what I use every day for listen. For my own company in Kazakhstan, for technology stuff, I use YouTube, and there's a great channel called Fireship.io. So I use that if I would like to just get a feeling what's going on inside tech in programming. What else I use? I think that's basically it. I sit in Medium kind of websites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In terms of books, what are you currently reading? And is there a book that you always recommend to others? And why is that?
I have two books I recommend, which personally helped me to kind of shifted my mindset. One is Why We Sleep. That's a great book. And I was always a person who not respects, I don't know how to say that word correctly, but basically I don't want to give up my time anywhere. Like if I sleep too much, next day I will be pissed because I sleep too much, you know? So I was always regretting that I spent my time something which is not productive and was eating myself. After reading this book, Why We Sleep, I actually now, sleep is my best friend. So we're in love with my bed. And I sleep however I want. I mean, how much? Usually it's 8 hours I sleep, but if I sleep too much, I don't regret. So basically this book actually tells you about all benefits of sleeping. There's so many benefits that I didn't know. Also stress relief, and you actually cannot remember stuff you learned if you don't sleep, right? So there's nothing. So basically while I didn't sleep, so if I don't sleep, I basically whatever I learned today, I won't remember it. So there's no need to read too much if you don't sleep because you won't remember that. That's one book I recommend for sure. Another book is Thinking Fast and Slow. That's also a great book, which I always refer. I always think about myself, like, am I thinking slow or fast right now? Because most of the time we think fast and make wrong decisions. But at the same time, It's not always bad to thinking fast. I didn't know that creativity comes from thinking fast. When you don't, because when you're thinking slow, you're afraid to make mistake, right? You actually digesting everything. But you when think fast, it's actually room for creativity. You're not scared to make a mistake. And this is pretty amazing stuff that I didn't know. So these two books are for sure some things that could help people to be happier, I believe. Yeah.
No, I can definitely relate. And I'm actually here.
Oh, yeah, you have these two books. Nice.
So for our audio listeners, I'm just showing the two books that Maksat had recommended. I'm definitely a big fan of both of them. The Why We Sleep, that study they did with the spiders, where they didn't let the spiders sleep, I think, and how they, you know, threaded the web afterwards. I thought that was a pretty cool experiment, which really talks a lot about the value of sleep and things and everything that it impacts.
Yeah. And one other impact that I read was about in the US, one of the states, one of the regions, they change teenagers, like 16, when they start to drive. Mm-hmm. Their school from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., something like that. And car crashes actually went down because these people were sleep deprived in the morning, which caused a lot of car accidents.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Well, we'll make these titles available in the show notes. Maksat, I can't thank you enough for your time today. It was very short and insightful conversation. You were very generous with, you know, the intel that you shared, especially on the interview process. So I thank you for that on behalf of all the listeners. What I love doing with all the guests is do a follow-up recording in about a year where we revisit the conversation from a year ago and see if everything that we've discussed still makes sense, still applies. So I'm definitely looking forward to doing that with you as well.
Oh, thank you. That would be great.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.